Well, a very good evening to you out there, and thanks for tuning in this Monday evening here on Terrace Talk, coming to you as always live on our studio here in Tralee. And on tonight's show, well, we look back at Garvey's Tralee Warriors' unique national basketball double as they won both the Under 20 and Development League titles in Dublin over the weekend. The Acorn Life Under 20 Football Championship draw will take place live here in studio just around 6:30 this evening. We'll be checking in with them around 6:15, and we have a bit of reaction to the draw then as well. And then Kerry Senior Football Manager Jack O'Connor, he gave us his views earlier today ahead of Kerry's opening senior football championship semi-final clash with Cork on Saturday. And in the second hour, we chat with Kerry minor camogie manager Joe Walsh ahead of their minor All-Ireland semi-final, All-Ireland against Armagh, of course, on Sunday. And then we chat to two brothers who both won national boxing titles at the weekend. That's pretty heavy stuff, and that's around 7:15. And then final tonight, we're joined by some of the players from the Clarny Under 18 women's team who are celebrating another unique double as they match their cup and league run with an exciting win in Virgin Media Park over the weekend as well. Now call 0667123666, or you can text or WhatsApp us as well on 083 300 3300. We'd love to hear your views on any thoughts at all. But starting tonight, delighted to welcome back, we had him here last week, of course, and we were saying if they won, would they come back? I didn't expect them to be outside the door at 5 to 6, but Rick Lenner is a proper professional, arrives in, takes his own seat as well. He can nearly co-host Terrace Talk now at this stage. He's been on so often. We're also joined by Eddie Sheehy, of course, the captain of the Under-20s, and Olaf Mikhailichuk. Chuck. Yes, yeah. Nearly there. I got about 7 or 8 that time. He only gave me 6 off ear, actually, for pronouncing his hair. And, of course, he is the captain of the Development League. Congratulations, lads. Eddie, you were here last year. Olaf, new to you. This is a fantastic achievement. It's a great way to end a season. A national champion.
Yeah, it feels great.
Yeah. Well, the build-up to it, it was an inaugural year, so people didn't really know the teams and clubs and the whole lot. But having won it and having played in the final, and you kind of dealt handily enough in the final, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. It was a pretty tough game. They were more older than us, and we're just a young team. It's kind of... It was a tough game.
Did that present different challenges to you? Because obviously older players might carry a little bit more experience. They might not get up and down the court maybe as quickly as you do. But what did you find the toughest about playing a team that had a little bit more maturity about them?
I guess they were just more stronger, more tougher, and we just had to get through it.
But you did get through it.
Yeah, we did.
How was the final whistle like? Final buzzer even?
Great.
Yeah, you knew from a small bit out, obviously, that you were going to win a couple of minutes ahead of time because you had a kind of a big enough lead on them. What did it mean to all the players in the panel on the bench and all that, knowing that they were about to create history? You were probably excited, surely, were you?
Yeah, definitely excited. More than excited, I'd say.
Was there more pressure on you because you saw Eddie's gang the day before winning it? Was there kind of like?
God, can I just stop you there with Eddie's gang? In Eddie's gang, he was the MVP of Eddie's gang.
Oh, right.
The day before.
I was actually with the Under-20s first, and then I was just...
So you were double-jobbing.
He double-jobbed. he did double duties there.
Absolutely fantastic. So you have 2 medals coming home for the weekend.
Yeah.
God, you kept that quiet, didn't you?
Modest over there.
Eddie, you were so excited you didn't even bring the cup this year. You brought it last year.
Yeah, I'd leave it home.
You were out celebrating, I suppose, were you?
Yeah.
What's it like the second time around at Under 20?
It's brilliant, I suppose. I suppose even the first time, you know, you're kind of more hungry for one when you never have one, but I don't know, with this year, it's kind of different group, so there was still a bit of hunger in the team. Olaf was in the States last year, he wasn't with Lewis at all. And obviously, he had 8 3-pointers in the final. I don't know, there's not many people that can do that. But yeah, winning for a second time is unbelievable. But obviously, big thanks to people like Rick, Luke, and Doc, Vel, all those people that help out with the Warriors, because none of this stuff would be done without them. None of these, championships and all that stuff, it's not just about players, it's about whoever is involved in trainings and paying for this and that and the other and stuff like that. Brilliant doing another time, isn't it?
Absolutely. So you've 2 now under 20s, and you can take the step to the development squad if you'd like to, or you might stay with the big stuff. Rick, we spoke last week about the amount of young players Tralee is transitioning from schools and from clubs up to this kind of fairly elite level. Obviously, I mean, this is the highest level at under 20, this is the highest level at the inaugural development squad. That must be a satisfaction in itself when you go back and say, okay, we did win it, but we're producing players, we're producing lots of players.
Yeah, it is. It is, but before I get to that, before it goes out of my head, I just want to take a shout out to one of the Carrick players there, just to say our thoughts and prayers are with him. He suffered a horrific injury. They broke his leg during the game, kind of the early part of the game there. So, look, you know, basketball is basketball, but, you know, sometimes, you know, life, you know, you have to just, you know, hold your head down and just, you know, just give a prayer to him and a speedy recovery. But back to your point there, the young guys coming through, it's been great. You know, it's been... I say it's been a pleasure coaching, and it has been a pleasure. You know, it comes with its ups and downs, and, you know, with teenagers who don't really listen to you all the time. But for the most part, they do listen. They do take it in. They do, you know, take things on board, and, you know, and they're a great bunch of guys to coach. And the talent here that the two clubs produce, the two feeder clubs produce, going up to the Warriors, it's unbelievable. I believe Eddie's young brother is a fine talent as well. There's a couple of other siblings coming through as well. Obviously, on the development squad, there was, you know, two sets of brothers there with the twins. Aaron Fleming, who was the captain of the development league squad, and got the MVP as well. Yesterday, his twin brother played a big part in the game yesterday. Then you have the Boilers, Dan and Steve. Their younger brother, Rory, is playing in the Kerry squads in basketball. And, you know, the talent is immense. And, you know, and I know, you know, Terry and Garvey's, the Warriors, everyone there, they're just so proud of it. And as Eddie said, it wouldn't be possible without the sponsors. You know, Garvey's, Virgin, Greyhound, Castle Bar. I mean, I'm not even going to start. I did start naming them. I said I wasn't going to name because I'll forget somebody. You know what I mean? So, but look, all the sponsors, it's, you know, it wouldn't be possible without them and the club and the people behind the scenes to provide a platform for these guys to showcase their talents.
Yeah. And of course, Eddie's a support as well. I mean, I'm presuming you brought a couple of buses and a good few with us over the weekend.
Well, I don't know about that. There wasn't that many buses, mostly parents and stuff like that. Like, but it was like the regulars, like, would say, like, former coaches when we were younger, and Super League coaches were there, and just, I think it's like everyone's family was there, which is the most important thing. Do you know what I mean? Like you can have as many supporters as you want, like, but seeing your family there is more important than seeing people you don't really know who support you there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's the people that put up the sacrifice of carrying you down to the hall when you were six every Wednesday night, when they wanted to probably watch Coronation Street or something, but you wanted to go and at 8 and 10, and then travel what to do on to Carsevine and all over the county. They're the kind of people that really need to see this cup and this achievement at the end of it, because I suppose they're very much part of your journey too.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose, like, when you're younger, like, obviously you don't drive a license or whatever, like, so you're kind of trucked around, like, by your parents, and, like, that could be on, like, weekdays. You could be playing anywhere in Kerry, so I suppose when they see, like, us getting to under 20 final, like, you're a man now, and you're not a child anymore, like, you know, it's probably great to see for our parents, especially lads that I've played with since I was, like, under sixes, and now we're winning a national league together, like. But yeah,
and Olaf, the very modest player now, as we've discovered, MVP in the under 20s.
Yeah,
how was that like? It was easier on you because obviously weren't marking the older fellas in this one, were you?
No, it's my age group, yeah, it's nicer. But yeah, I worked for it all season, like, that's what I wanted to come out with after the game. So yeah, I finally got what I wanted. Like.
And it was some shooting, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know going into a game that you're going to have a game as good as this, or do you know after maybe the first quarter that you're on a bit of a song, or how does that feel? How does that go?
I mean, for this game, I definitely was very confident because the 2 weeks we had off for Easter break, I was just working out. I was in the gym, like, a lot of hours throughout that Easter break, so I was kind of ready for the game.
And how many times did you throw a three at training when nobody's watching you to throw one in a game?
Oh, I'm not sure.
It's over and over and over again.
Like, yeah. Just throw them up, like.
Do you score everything when you're doing it at training, or?
Oh, no.
No, so it all came off. Fantastic. Congratulations. That's absolutely super. Eddie, we won't see you next year?
No.
Not at under 20 anyway?
No. Super League.
Oh my God, Super League. Fair go, Rick. Rick, we'll see you definitely next year.
Yeah.
You'll surely have another under 20 team and you'll surely have another development team. Finally, Rick, to wrap it up, I mean, it's an amazing achievement. It's a national achievement. And it's an achievement that is won out of the hard work of Tralee.
Yeah. It's definitely, you know, a lot of hard work been put in with the guys. Like I said, it's been a pleasure, you know, coaching them. It's every time we come around at this time of the year, when you think, oh, you're thinking about what are we going to do next year? We had to think about it, you know, in the back of your head, you know, in the back of your mind, in your heart, you're probably like, yeah, let's get down to brass tacks here. We'll be back.
And the little boy told me you can go playing basketball yourself now.
I've been coaxed into dusting the boots off and selected to play for the over 50s international team. So, you know, we're off to Italy in June for the European Championships. So I guess it is a great honor, you know, just, you know, for me to, you know, as an American coming here for 6 months, like 30 years ago, to, you know, get an Irish cap as well. So, you know, it'll be great fun. So I have to start now looking after myself now instead of these young fellas and getting the gym.
Well, the first thing you should do is take Olaf down to the gym and he'll show you how to throw a few trees.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Listen, thanks very much, guys. Rick Denner, of course, Olaf Mikhailichuk, who played MVP on the under-20s and also played on the development team as well. And of course, our nearly yearly character to stage, Eddie Sheehy, he just rocks in with a cup the odd time. Congratulations, guys. It's fabulous. It's a great story and long may that success continue. After a break, we talk football and specifically the Acorn Life under-20 football championship draw.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now you're very welcome back, and of course we are touring to the Acorn Life Kerry under 21 football championship draw, of course, here in the county. I'm delighted to be joined by lots of different guests, but I'm delighted to be joined by Shannon O'Queeve. I probably murdered that, didn't I?
It wasn't too bad.
So it was easier to know Olaf Mikhailichuk anyway. And of course, you're from Douala, of course, but you were one of the winners from the North Kerry team last year, the 2023 winners, of course. That was a fierce, exciting final. That's the one against East Kerry, of course, that you were playing and you weren't playing and the game was going ahead. Next thing you went ahead, draw, extra time. We had it all, really. Did it take long to kind of come back down after winning that? I mean, the whole game was just...
It
was a madness.
It was massive. It was a massive win. Like, it was the first time I think the North Kerry district had won it in a long time. I suppose after 60 minutes there wasn't a kick of the ball. Venus kind of came down to the bench and everything in the end, so yeah, it was huge. Like, it was massive win.
And of course, I suppose I'm a district supporter, obviously, so Kerry tipped the hat to that, but North Kerry, I mean, obviously it's the joining of the clans, it's putting Douala and the Stowell all together as a group. Did that take a bit of time for that gel to go, or was there kind of a special bond in that particular group? You could feel it maybe from training in that kind of way?
Well, I think there was a great buzz in the group. There was always plenty of crack, even at training, after the games and everything. The managers did a good job of doing that with us, and also, like, a lot of us kind of went to school with each other in St. Michael's, John, around the place like that, so it kind of made it all easier, so we all kind of knew each other already, John, that kind of.
Yeah. Does the college blend in the St. Michael's College course, List all? Does that have a big impact, obviously, like Colossian, Skellig and Carstaveen, or maybe the Sim in Killarney or Tralee CBS either decide what part of the fence you're on there? But the college football kind of does lead into the under-20s in a good way.
Oh yeah, definitely, sure. You even see, you know, this year the Tarbert school team, they've obviously won the All-Ireland, and there's a good shot of them, the younger lads, joining us. And so they've already all played together and they're joining and they're playing well. So yeah, it definitely is a positive, yeah.
Fair play. Keep all the secrets about what you're doing this year to yourself now, obviously. We don't give any secrets away. What was it like bringing the cup back home to friends, parents, family, and maybe even the club, Douala? I mean, it's a proud moment to bring home a county championship.
It was massive. Like, it was kind of brought everyone together. Like, it was great celebrations after. There was John was there, and it was brilliant, yeah.
And you brought it back in one piece.
Is it just about?
Yeah. And Acorn Life is still hanging around?
Still there 13 years later.
Yeah. It's a massive sponsorship, 13 years, year after year, continuous support. Do you get to see a lot of the games yourself? I suppose you do.
A lot of them, yeah. And I suppose we enjoyed the whole thing. We're delighted to be involved in it. And I suppose we have to give the credit for that to Maureen O'Shea. She was the lady that brought us on board day one, and then it has continued. And as I said, we are delighted to be with her. I was delighted last year with the boys winning, because I'm from Douai as well, would you believe it? And I suppose the joker of the pack is supposed to be Dunlacha Mahar. And he was the man of the match last year.
That's right, yeah. Fantastic,
I got a bit of a tilling off for picking him, but sure, I didn't pick him at all.
Oh,
because
yeah,
I don't
sure
pick the man of the match. Just oh, the reporters, the boys that are there. The
I was in holidays, I was in France or something like that. I was miles away. Yeah.
But the sad side of it, he's going away to Australia today week.
Yeah.
So he's leaving.
Wow.
Pity to see him going. Cause we
and that's a big loss for kind of a small
huge,
club. But, you know, it's
huge, yeah,
it's
we're disappointed he's gone. But he's going out to his brother and going out to his uncle, and he's going out working there. And
yeah.
That's it.
And of course, stepping away from the football side of it on that, it's kind of part and parcel of this age group as well. I mean, all through the county, I mean, at that age group, people want to travel, people want to go away for a while as well. And a lot of fine footballers that will probably play in this will probably head away maybe during the summer, or maybe even longer, unfortunately.
Yeah, I have two fellas there. Pierce went out last April, this time 12 months, and Liam went out in January. So they're both in Sydney. Delighted with it, love every bit of it. And they'd advise everybody to go.
Your pleasure.
So now,
that's life advice now as well.
Advise everyone to go. What should I say? Such is life without a wife, and such is life to have one.
Yeah, so. But not too many Douai players now. Just one is enough. Like
one, yeah, we wouldn't want the players to go at all. Now, but other lads that were used to such football could go.
All right, okay. We'll talk about it later on.
Come here. Micro.
There's hardly no useless people at football, Joe Costello, especially as the Kerry GAA coaching officer. It's an incredibly important competition as well, because obviously people talk about minor and people talk about senior, but this is the link between them, and it's a county championship. And I know there's the James Coffey Cup, James Coffey, of course, Lone Ranger and Killorglin and all that history with him as well. So it's an important competition to keep running and keep pushing forward.
Absolutely, Donal, yeah. You just saw the effect that it had on the districts, the two district boards last year with North Kerry and East Kerry. There's a lot of these guys that maybe would have worn the Kerry jersey at development squad level, maybe or maybe not at minor level, but it's still giving them a very high level of football. And they really enjoy it. They enjoy the camaraderie out of it because, as already was alluded to, a lot of these guys have played together in underage setups. So it's vitally important, and it's an important part of our calendar, of our fixture game programme as well.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the man that puts most of those calendars together in the fixtures is Terence Hoole, and he joins us along with his Man United fan club here. Are you both Man United fans?
Yeah.
Oh, good stuff. We'll talk to you in a while. We have a lot to talk to you about, actually. God, I might go on all night. The important part of this, of course, is we have 16 teams, obviously, Terence, but a lot of clubs as well.
Yeah, I suppose the nature of the last year or two has been that we've had 8 clubs and probably more looking to get into the Under-21 Championship. I think we had the same last year. I suppose the knock-on effect of maybe the middle band of the county population-wise and clubs trying to cater for more players is to be seen in the Under-21 Championship. I think all the 8 clubs that are in the draw here tonight have B teams in the county league between Division 5 and 6, so I suppose clubs are trying to keep the lads playing, and I suppose they'll all fancy their chances in a straight knockout, maybe of getting a run and getting to a semi-final or final.
Mm-hmm. Joe, the B team thing, I mean, when I played it was Division 1 down to 5, and God knows that was as far as you wanted to go, but 6 has kind of really exploded now, 6A and 6B, with the amount of people playing. So obviously there's more pressure on clubs to kind of provide football, but there is a good window and a good opportunity to provide a lot of football in that development league.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like what we've done in the CCC this year is, and in previous years, is we've provided a load of avenues for clubs to get their second or third senior teams out. Obviously, I suppose in recent times, the one that sticks out would be Dr. Crokes, who had their second team right up to Division 2. But they have a third team in. Austin Stacks, I think, have even 2 teams in the development league, as well as a team in my own club, St. Pat's Blenville, in Division 5. So, it's fantastic. It gives an outlet for it. Yes, does it put pressure on resources, both playing pitches, referees, and so on and so forth. But, you know, I suppose that's our job in the CCC, to try and deal with those conundrums. And, you know, a lot has been said about the recent inclement weather, but the clubs have done a fantastic job in terms of being able to get their pitches up. I think, you know, Terence, in fairness to his credit, has done a super job with the Senior Football League to have the couple of rounds played so far. So this B competition, again, or the B teams in the County League and the Developmental League, is just providing that outlet. It's hopefully it's helping clubs deal with the knock-on an effect of the minor going to 17,
yeah.
So that at least there's a pathway there for those guys that maybe came out of minor and physically ready for Division 1 or Division 2 that their club might be in, but might be able to play in 5 or 6 or in the developmental
league. And you see a lot of that on Facebook. I mean, clubs congratulating John and Michael, who made their senior debut today in Division 6 or whatever it was against X and Y. And of course, it's important that when people want to play, that there has to be an avenue new for them to play, because obviously that was the debate, that if we don't provide them, they're gone, or they're gone off to Australia here on the boat with Dunnock and the whole lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, some of these immigration issues that we're dealing with, we're probably always going to deal with them.
They were always there too.
They were always there, and maybe it's exacerbated a bit more because it's difficult for young lads to get jobs coming out of college. So, you know, the attraction of going abroad is there, but I suppose our role is to make sure that the guys that do want to stay around, that we have a good, effective games programme for them. And as I said earlier, the clubs are really rowing in behind it.
Eddie Healy, Robert Stack, Cormac Dillon on the under-20 team.
Yep.
You watching last night, were you?
I was, yeah.
Were you impressed?
Very impressed. They all played very well, didn't they?
They really did, didn't they? I mean, I suppose they got the goal in the first half. I mean, obviously against incredible bad conditions and the whole lot. But they really kicked on, didn't they?
They did, in fairness, and throw all the lights. Shreddy kicked 2 points. Yeah. Rob kicked one at the end, and Cormac.
Do you be on the WhatsApp group now telling them that they left that behind and Rob Stack didn't pass you and all that kind of stuff?
I don't know, you kind of leave them at it. So they're the kind of boys. They're the good ones. Like, you know, can leave them do what they want.
They're the good ones, he says. And of course, Evan Boyle was on the bench last year as well. Before we get to the draw and the whole lot of it, Terence, the weather, because we got loads of comments in over the last number of weeks about the weather and people talking about we should have AstroTurf fields and we should be starting later in the year and the whole lot. But you got yourself through the first three rounds. Did many games fall? Or, I mean, I see Port McGee and my van having a go at each other yesterday in the county league. They were probably one of the last ones to complete that section, maybe, were they?
Yeah, I think that was the only game that and one other game fell due to weather circumstances in the first three rounds. They were both picked up yesterday, so as of yesterday the first three rounds are completed.
Yeah, like you must rest easy late at night back in Killargan when you see Division 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and every round completed in the whole lot, and not the, I suppose nobody wants back games because they kind of bite you somewhere along the way and all of a sudden you might have a hurling championship game or whatever the whole lot. So it's very pleasing, and clubs must have worked really hard to get them games over the line. I know St. Pat's even travelled out to Ballyduff or somewhere to play a game, did they?
In the development league we did.
Jesus, how much you crossed districts and everything, did you?
Absolutely.
It's amazing how friendly they are now, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose clubs are very accommodating. There's Scarta Glen currently, their pitch has been done up and they've got the help of numerous clubs and around their own area, and other clubs helping each other out. I think it shows the GA for what it is, that we all dig in and help people out when needs be, and we'd have to compliment clubs for playing. And also I think the players need to be complimented because they've probably put up with the worst winter we've seen in a long time, training in probably very tough conditions, small areas of pitches and whatnot. So it's not easy, and I suppose maybe from our point of view, Joe and I often talk about it, we start everything and the 1st of April or this turning of the lights on seems to be a kickoff for everything to start. And you just look at this year, is that a thing that we can do going forward without the climate change and everything? So something we're just going to have to monitor.
Mm-hmm. It's becoming a real topic, to be fair. I mean, even my own club over in Kilcoman, getting the pitch because of the weather, and there's so many demands, and that you have every age group wanting to be on the field and everybody wants to train twice a week and the whole lot. Let's go back to our duo character and see, what do you remember from the championship last year? You're up for the quiz, are you?
Did it? Which championship? No, the under-21.
The under-21, Jesus, absolutely. You surely have the best brain here, have you? Right, the four semi-finalists from last year.
Semi-finals?
Yeah.
It was us and Lone Rangers.
Oh, well done. Of course, you beat Lone Rangers.
East Kerry.
Yeah.
Was it South Kerry?
Fair play to you. Absolutely. Bonus points for that. Jesus almighty. Do you remember the four games you won to get to the final? Three games you won to get to the final.
It was Legion.
Yes.
Kinmare Shamrocks, Lone Rangers, and then East Kerry.
Fair play to them, huh?
Great mind, isn't it?
Great mind altogether, huh? Did you beat Kinmare Shamrocks by much?
It was 6 or 7 points to finish up, was it?
Oh, we'd give it to him. 1-12-7. Yeah, 6 or 7 maybe.
Close enough.
Close enough. It was close enough. What did you beat the Long Rangers by?
I'd say 2 points, is it, maybe?
Close enough to, wasn't it? Yeah, club team. Lone Rangers, the last club team standing, obviously there's a lot made of districts being very strong and the whole lot. But at this level, club teams did compete fairly well. I mean, Kinmare were in the quarterfinal. Lone Rangers beat Rathmore. And South Kerry beat Dr. Croke. So there is a lot of progress within the clubs as well. And a lot of clubs at different times, I'd imagine, Terence, feel that they are quite strong and they have the option to kind of go on their own.
Yeah, and I think Lone Rangers are a prime example maybe the last few years of a team that have had a good bunch of young lads coming. I remember being at their match last year against Rathmore and it being one of the better games I saw throughout the year. I think
it was a very exciting
extra
game,
time, yeah. It was a fantastic game. And they've been lucky. But I suppose the clubs can the big thing for them is if they can keep the guys around. A lot of them maybe go to America for the summer. And if that happens, then they find it difficult. But I think the way we've structured the championship, where it starts maybe in May time, there's a good chance that we're holding on to lads to play in the first two rounds. And sure, if you get to the semi-final, then you'd fancy your chances maybe from there on. I suppose just while I'm on from our side of the house in the county board side of it, I'd like to thank Poise and Acorn Life for the continued support. It's fantastic to have these companies and firms back in Kerry GA year in, year out, and we've thoroughly appreciated it, and we look forward to maybe having many more years where they're sponsoring our competitions.
I'm sure he's only at 13, I suppose. You have a long way to go to 20, have you?
I'm heading for 70 though.
Oh, right. Oh, Christ, yes, there could be a change of captain, like.
Well, they're quite any day of the week at all. They'll always look for the younger fellow that's more energetic and full of new ideas.
Yeah, but sure.
But he'll find it difficult to unseat me.
Yeah, but... spoken like a true pope or something. There'll be no young bishop coming up. Okay, good stuff, guys. Last year, we had 16 teams. We drew for... It was an open draw, wasn't it, Terence?
That's it.
Yep, so nobody's safe. Nobody's seeded, nobody's safe. You can get anybody. God, wouldn't it be great to have East Kerry and North Kerry in the first round, huh? Could that happen tonight? I tell you, they'll be on the WhatsApp too if that happens. good stuff. So we look forward to that. South Kerry, obviously, in the semi-final last year, Lone Rangers. And then, as I said, the quarterfinals last year, North Kerry beat Kinmare Shamrocks. Lone Rangers, after extra time, 121-216. Fantastic game against Rathmore. And then, of course, East Kerry just edged out Mead Kerry. People seem to forget it as well, 112-111. And, of course, South Kerry had that big win over Dr. Crokes in the quarterfinal, but ended up losing to East Kerry. Okay, so who's drawing what and who's drawing where?
I think we'll ask Pius as a sponsor to draw first.
Fair play, Pius.
And the North Kerry representatives will draw second.
And the North Kerry.
And just, I suppose, as similar to last year, as you said, on an open draw, and the first team out is home advantage.
Okay, so this is where I'm going. Pius, you draw all the home teams, and
Sinan
can draw the away team. He can make it worse.
North Kerry.
Oh, God almighty. First team out, North Kerry, the champions.
Killarney Legion.
Almost East Kerry. That's our first club out tonight.
Austin Stacks.
Home advantage. Pius drew it out. Chinon is going to pick.
Rathmore.
Very good. Rathmore. Of course, losing out to Lone Rangers in the quarterfinal last year.
St Kieran's.
Liam Brosnan will be delighted with that team.
Kinmare
Shamrocks.
St Brendan's Board.
It's around the corner and beyond.
Mead Kerry.
Taking on Mead Kerry, team that were just unseated by East Kerry last year by a single point.
East Kerry,
last year's runners up.
South Kerry.
Oh, South Kerry. Oh, God. That, of course, is a repeat of the semi-final last year.
Kinmare District,
as opposed to Kinmare Shamrocks.
Dr. Crokes.
They're at home to Dr. Crokes.
Ballymac.
Ballymac. New team inside there. What am I talking about? They may be in a second. Home advantage.
Lone Rangers.
Ballymac and Lone Rangers. Oh my god. Maureen O'Shea versus Terence, huh?
West Kerry.
Glenflesk.
And that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Nothing left in the tin, is there?
Olive.
Well, James Coffey's pockets were never Olive anyway, so I presume you're standing correctly. Okay, just to recap, we have North Kerry, the champions, at home to Killarney Legion. We have Austin Stacks playing Rathmore. St. Cairns have Kinmare Shamrocks. St. Brendan's Board have Mead Kerry. East Kerry play South Kerry. And Kinmare District play Dr. Crokes. Ballymac have Lone Rangers. And West Kerry have Glenflesk. All correct, Mr. Hoolan?
Absolutely.
You made no mistake?
Nope.
No, good stuff. Go on, you picked the Legion.
That's what came out, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Do you know much about them? You surely know some couple of fellas playing with them, do you?
They will shine in the likes of that. Like, they'll be strong.
Yeah.
Obviously, we won't be strong this year. Do you know, we lost 7 or 8 starters. Do you know, the likes of Kevin Gould and Darlinch, Dunnick Amargan to Australia. So,
yeah.
It's a different game of soldiers again this year. So, we'll have to.
God, fair play to you. You're really doing the GA thing fairly well. Runners, run the champions down straight away. So, we have no team whatsoever. The boys are gone. Absolutely. Tony could probably be back in 2 weeks, will he?
He won't. No, he's tougher than that.
He's definitely gone. Good stuff. Austin Sex and Rathmore, two clubs as well. Last year's was Austin Sex and South Kerry in the first round. St. Cairns and Kinmare Shamrocks. Last year's was St. Cairns and Mead Kerry. St. Brendan's Board and Mead Kerry. Your gang are in stuck in debt, are they?
Yeah, exactly. It's Dawn. Yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be a very tough one because obviously Mid Kerry have had an awful lot of success, particularly with, if you think about it, they've contested a couple of recent minor county championships, yeah. So that'll backbone a lot of their team. But
and of course, it'll be important for them as well. You know, getting to the number of county championships over the years as well. They need to produce players and get players in. And as I said, they just lost out to East Kerry by the single point last year as well. So, I mean, they're going to be up and at it. St. Brendan's Board is made up of?
I suppose the traditional ones are St. Pat's, Nigail, Artford and Churchill. And in recent times then we've Cairns O'Reilly's and John Mitchell's have come on board. So look, it's a six team or it's a six club team now, and I know the Brendan's Board are fairly well organised, to be fair, under the previous stewardship of Alex O'Donnell and now Paddy Whelan. So they'll be prepared, they'll give it a shot.
And they have great jerseys.
They have great jerseys.
They always have great jerseys. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Would you love to play against teams that have great jerseys?
So as you would, yeah.
No, seriously, to be fair to the St. Brendan's Board, over the last number of years, they've brought out different commemorative jerseys to kind of, I suppose, commemorate different people involved in St. Brendan's district going back through the years. And something that's great for them. East Kerry versus South Kerry, of course, it's an East Kerry team without, I suppose, the Legion, Rathmore, Glenflesk hanging out there as Crokes, of course, probably not with them either. Versus South Kerry. What did you hear about East Kerry? Have they lost 7 or 8 as well? Have they?
I couldn't tell you. No research done.
Find it hard to believe. My God. It was easier to get talk about Jack O'Connor this evening than it is out of you at the moment. Kinmare District versus Dr. Crokes. The Kinmare District, we are talking.
Yeah, you're talking Kilgarvan, Tusis, Timpano. Probably the Kinmare District have, in fairness to the board, last year we went down, Joe and I and Peter met them at some stage last year, and in fairness to the clubs in the area, they said they'd come together and see could they make a board to work for their underage teams up to under 21 nearly, and they put in a good effort. They're under pressure, like Kinmare Shamrocks would be a big draw away from them, so no, it's fantastic that they're aiming to play in the county championship, and a home match, I think, is a reward for them, and it's to be welcomed, I think, for them, and hopefully they give a good account to themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I mean, Dr. Crokes are a big draw in every sport. I mean, that'll certainly get people in over the gate. And as I say, look, Temple Now doing fantastic work, of course, joined with Nafina now out at the lower level as well. Kilgarvan playing with Glenflesk at under 13 and 15 as well. And as you say, they're all small clubs that are kind of battling away and trying to keep football alive, I suppose. You know, this is about it as well. And look, they're giving the doorway or the gateway to get lads into county championship, and like you said, like, you know, roll up the sleeves and they might have a great go at them. Ballymac and Lone Rangers, unique enough, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it would be at this level, but I suppose it wouldn't be unique to both clubs because they're playing actually a Division 2 minor county final tomorrow night. So, and they've met over the last number of years. They would have been meeting at numerous age grades up along. So I wouldn't think it's unique to both clubs. Mm-hmm. It's definitely unique to Ballymac. And again, to have a home match in the county championship at under 21 level is fantastic for a club coming in. And I think that'll be a good match now, I'd say.
Absolutely. And West Kerry and Glenflesk. Glenflesk will have to get the minibus and head back to West Kerry. West Kerry with the Gaeltacht and Dingle.
Yeah, West Kerry will have all their clubs of the district involved. So if they can muster up as all the players available to them, they'll be a good outfit. But saying that, Glenflesk have a couple of Kerry under 20s and I think they won't be found wanting. So that's a very interesting tie.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, West Kerry were undone last year by Rathmore in the first round. And I think Usher Lone Rangers, you upset poor Glenflesk last year. Yeah. So basically, West Kerry or Glenflesk, both teams didn't get past the first round last year. One of them will get past the first round this year. They'll be in the draw. When are the games, Terence? When will Fields be available?
Yeah, look, Fields available is one thing, but the games, hopefully by the time we're coming around, they'll be well available. So we're on Wednesday the 22nd of May, and then we've the following week, the 29th of May. We take a break then for a number of weeks due to, I suppose, the age bracket we're dealing with Leaving Cert. So we're back on the 26th of June then for the semi-finals and the final the following week, the 3rd of July. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, fairly similar last year. You got your business done up to the stage and off you go. As a player, the whole campaign, I mean, obviously it's different. You have your club going as well. You have your county league games going. Some of the lads are playing with the college and the whole lot. And it's hard maybe at times to kind of bond districts together. But as you said at the start, the school kind of takes a lot of that shine off it. But the whole training, when you get into camp, Are you training well in advance of the draw? Have you been training? Don't tell us that you've been training for the last 4 months or something like this.
We played Stacks kind of Friday night there, a challenge match, and that was kind of our...
Yeah, that was your first meet and greet and gathering dust off the cobwebs and off you go after that. And that gives you kind of an idea of what's going on. You play your first round, fingers crossed for North Kerry, obviously, to get past and off you go. That break in the middle, is that kind of a hard break to kind of take, or are you back training and or is it better that you know that the break is coming, tis in the calendar, it's not like one of these competitions that you could play next week or the week after, you have the date set so you know it's in the diary?
Well, it can be tough, I suppose, really, because you're kind of gearing towards the semi-final when you get to that stage, and you've kind of a 4 week break, you know, and there's obviously county leagues going on with the clubs at the time, and then, you know, you have to go out to
playing with your club, obviously.
Yeah, and then you have to go training with North Kerry and things, so
and come back. Is that a difficult balance? It can be awkward, maybe, rather.
It can be awkward enough, yeah. Times, you know, work and everything in the summer, lads. But sure.
Fair play. Do you get to see a lot of the games, Pius?
Most of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I suppose one of the things that we get credit for is coming up with the idea of Man of the Match awards. So we did it, and now they're all doing it. So we'll continue to do it. So we'll do the Man of the Match awards for both semi-finals and for the final.
Okay. Yeah. Picked by yourself?
Oh no. So last year, I must tell you the story about the Man of the Match last year.
Go on, good story.
Dunnacha Mahar was actually presented with two Man of the Match awards, because the first Man of the Match had both of his legs broken before it was presented to him. So we could get a second Man of the Match, which was presented to him again. So
I wonder he's going to Australia.
Yeah.
Come here to me. Talk about the importance of the Man of the Match. I mean, obviously it's a great talking point, and sometimes players just stand out and they're better, but it's a great recognition for a player, Pius, and sometimes it's a player who isn't an intercounty player, sometimes he's just a club player inside the mix, and then, you know, when you have that kind of district element, it gives the club player from, I suppose I'll be shot now for saying the weaker club or the smaller club or the country club or the whole lot, but from the club that people don't see a lot or hear a lot of. And it probably means a damn sight more to these people than it is maybe to the person who's picking up 16 Man of the Match awards all summer long.
Yeah, well, you see, for most lads, it will be the biggest trophy they'll ever collect. Okay, it would be the men of the match for that game, and a lot of those won't go on to go up the ladder and play for the county. But I suppose one of the things that we found when we did it, and some of the managers told us, that it added a bit of extra spice to the game. Certain fellows wanted to be the man of the match, and as I said, we picked it the first 2 years, and then we said there were better judges there than us, so we delegated. So we don't pick the man of the match anymore, but we're delighted to sponsor that.
Yeah.
And we put up a decent trophy every year for it. And the best of luck to all teams again this year in it. And we look forward to going to the matches. Mossy Coffey and myself are generally the two fellas that go to most of the matches. Mossy's from Carrigsbean, and Aideen right in here in Tralee would come as well. Patrick Kelly comes to the odd match, but we enjoyed the whole thing, being involved with the whole under 21 thing. It has been a huge boost to us, to our profile in Kerry, and we have been on out to the Limerick County Board to see will they do something similar. So we're
geez, you'll be broke.
We're marketing.
Marketing, is that the word for it? At 70 years old, it's marketing. Yeah. Come here, Mossy Coffey, he's still going strong, blowing some Kerry.
He's firing away, mad. He is indeed, yep. So
I love the way you said Carsey Union, give mini club.
Oh, send me out. He was said to see what I know the name of the club there. No, you know.
Fair play, sure. It is the name of the club. So round one is going to be the 22nd of May, so Wednesday evening. Round two, the quarterfinals, the week straight after it, it's going to be the 29th. Then there's a break, obviously, for, I suppose, for the leaving certain, the whole lot. The 26th of June, they're back in focus as a semi-final, and the 3rd of July will be the final. Hard to know. I'm not going to ask you who's going to be in the final, obviously. Hard to know who's going to be in the final. I'm going to give it to poor old Joe. Joe, give me four names I should be looking at. We won't ask you the name of the winner, but yeah, four of the top.
I'll try.
Provided they don't run into each other.
Yeah, I'll try to give you two of each, if that suits.
Oh my gosh, you're very diplomatic, isn't it?
Yeah. Obviously, North Kerry. I think North Kerry would be certainly one to watch. And I, contrary to my own district board, I think if Mid-Kerry come out of maybe Blenheville, I think that's normally where the Brendans play their under 21 games. I think North Kerry and Mid-Kerry are probably the two district boards I'd watch. From a club perspective, I think Dr. Cokes are probably a year or two too young. I think Glenfesk will surprise a lot. Terence already alluded to the fact that they have a couple of under 20s. I think, if memory serves me right, on that that minor team in 21, they actually had five on the panel. So I think they might surprise a lot, and I'd probably give the second one to Kenmare Shamrocks.
Oh
yeah, they've done they're doing a huge amount of great work down there across all levels, and I think
they had a right go with North Kerry last year.
They might be a surprise package.
He's very diplomatic, Terence, isn't he?
Absolutely.
Now, you do know, Joe, by picking those four teams, you've upset four more teams, like, obviously.
Absolutely. I've upset 12 more.
There'll be extra teams and extra training and the whole lot. Listen, guys, thanks very much. It was fantastic. Finally, Terence, just go through it one more time for me, the draw, and we'll finish up.
Yeah, so the draw is North Kerry versus Killarney Legion, Austin Stacks versus Rathmore, St Kieran's versus Kinmare Shamrocks, St Brendan's Board versus Mid Kerry, East Kerry versus South Kerry, Kinmare District versus Dr. Crokes, Ballymac versus Lone Rangers, and West Kerry v Glenfisk. And all the first name teams are at home for the first round.
Fair play. And just as a stupid South Kerry question, all games must be won some way or manner or means on that night.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All the way to penalties.
All the way to the penalties.
You practice penalties? You probably won't need them, will you?
Loads. Practice loads of them, Lindsay.
Practice loads of them. And get a good goalkeeper as well. Listen, guys, thanks very much. And we will be back after a break when we talk to Jack O'Connor.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry. Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now the Kerry senior footballers prepare for the Munster football semi-final when they host Cork, of course, next Saturday at Fitzgerald Stadium. And earlier today, I caught up with Kerry manager Jack O'Connor. Delighted now to be joined by Jack O'Connor, Kerry senior football manager, ahead of what is a very crucial Munster semi-final on Saturday. Jack, looking back as well before we go ahead, the league is over, it's done and dusted. 5 wins out of 7. That's quite incredible at the same, considering the two teams that beat you got to the final. So you must be happy enough with that.
Yeah, you'd be reasonably happy, Donal, if you took the night against Dublin out of it. I suppose we'd be happy enough, but you know, that game obviously left a bit of a scar, because we got a good beating that night and a good lesson. So It'll be a good thing if we can learn from it and improve from it. But at the same time, to never you know, a nice thing to experience to get beaten by 10 points, you know.
Mm-hmm. I suppose that Dublin game, for a lot of players, it was their first experience of a beating, maybe in that magnitude. Surely that little hurt in the locker room probably is positive, can be turned positive towards the end of the year, maybe.
Actually, look, the players reacted pretty well afterwards, and we won the rest of our games, which is all you can ask of them, without being scintillating or anything like that. So, I think overall you'd have to be happy enough with the league, because, you know, we got 10 points, 8 points got teams to the league final last year, but I think both Derry and Dublin were going very well this year, so you know, you'd have to take that into consideration. But in general, we'd be happy enough that we tried out a lot of new players and gave them a good bit of experience, and that should stand to our panel later on.
Yeah, absolutely. There's over 30 players used in the league. The Dublin Derry final, did you throw an eye on it? I mean, a lot of people singing and dancing about how wonderful it was, and it was a fantastic game of football. As a spectator looking at it, what did you think of it?
It was a high quality game, you know. There was no holes barred. Both teams went at it and played at ferocious pace and intensity, closer to a championship game. So, you know, it just tells you the standards are going up all the time, fitness wise. And two good teams, and very little in it in the end.
Mm-hmm. And of course, with the fitness in mind, of course, you were heading off to Portugal. I mean, everybody in Kerry was looking for a dry day. Did you get many dry days over in Portugal, and did you get to do a decent bit of work?
Yeah, plenty of dry days, all right, no, plenty of sunshine, yeah. We arrived back into Kerry Saturday morning to a storm, but we got a good bit of work done there, and you know, we needed to, because, you know, this has been a poor winter in Kerry and everywhere else in Ireland, so it's hard to do quality training, so we managed to do a nice bit of training over there too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then of course you're facing into the Munster final. It comes quick enough now, with, I suppose, the split season, everything being kind of maybe squeezed a little bit. Is the magic kind of gone off the Munster Championship a small bit, or maybe provincial championships, maybe even to a longer stay than that question? It's coming rather quickly. It's in Killarney. There doesn't seem to be a huge build-up at the moment. Is that maybe more of an outside thing, or are players totally ignoring that, or are players kind of really building up for it?
First thing, it is a semi-final, not a final. And the other thing is, look, we never underestimate Cork, and we never underestimate how important it is to try and perform against Cork. So, look, maybe the outsiders might be getting too excited about it, but certainly for us, we see it as a huge game, because you win your provincial championship, you get your first game at home in the group stages, which is big. So we have many reasons to try and perform well in the game and hopefully win it.
Mm-hmm. I suppose going back 20 years, Jack, 2004 was your first semi-final against Cork, was it, in Killarney? You won 15 points to 7. You had Darashe midfield, and you had Eamon Fitzmaurice and Colm Cooper and all that. You've gone through quite a generation of different players. How do players stack up over the 20 years?
That's very hard to, you know, it's very hard to judge players from different eras, because football has changed. I mean, you know, Darashe was a dominant midfielder in that period when the ball was being kicked out, you know, basically into a contest in the middle of the field. You know, how many kickouts do you see kicked into a contest now? A lot of them are kick shot or medium or kick to the wings or whatever. So it's very hard to judge, you know, players from different eras. But some of those players could have performed in any era, you know. But in general, football has changed and keeps evolving.
Mm-hmm. I suppose the one thing that keeps evolving is the panel. A lot of new players in tried out during the year. Would Kerry supporters be hopeful of seeing maybe a few new debutants in championship in the next game, or maybe certainly the final? Maybe?
Well, we saw plenty of lads getting a chance during the league, and they'll all be in contention. Obviously, we've a couple of training sessions to go this week, and we'll see how fellas are going in training. But yeah, I thought from that point of view of trying out players, I thought the league was good to us.
Mm-hmm. And finally, just on the injury front, are you happy with the getting back to health of some of the players? Will you have a full deck to pick from, or will there be a few sitting out?
Yeah, well, outside of Jason Foley, you know, who's a long-term enough injury, You know, we don't have and Rory Murphy, obviously, who got injured before the start of the league. You know, the rest of the injuries are muscle injuries, short term. And again, we'll see how fellas are moving this week and pick accordingly.
There you go, Jack. We'll have a look at him and pick accordingly. And as he's tipped out there, that Jason Foley, of course, long term enough injury, so likely to miss next Saturday's outing and possibly maybe another one or two along the way. But barring that, everybody else is certainly in Jack's thoughts for selection. After the break, we will be talking to another Kerry manager in Joe Walsh. The Kerry Camogie Miners are in an All Ireland Minor semi final, and they get ready to take on Armagh for a place in the All Ireland final. And of course they won their first ever All-Ireland Minor in 2023, so great times to be in the Camogie hot seat there. Pat Casey, James E. Casey, they're coming up around 7:15, two national titles in one household, and then from 7:30 onwards this evening we'll turn the channels and we'll talk to the Clonmany women, who are double Munster rugby champions. All that after the break. And if you want to get in contact, 066 712 3666, or you can text or WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300. Always happy to take a call and always happy to take a text and always happy to have listeners. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
Hi Donal, will you please congratulate our great jockey Jack Kennedy for getting home safely around 8:30 last Saturday, coming second of course, and that's from a Belly Mac fan. Absolutely a fantastic achievement for Jack Kennedy. First of all, of course, coming home safely, and of course coming second. Now let's change sports. The Kerry Camogie Miners are in the All-Ireland Minor semi-final and they get ready to take on Kildare for a place in the All-Ireland final. Of course, Kerry, remember last year winning, I suppose a memorable year winning the minor All-Ireland, and delighted to have Joe Welch on, the manager, on with me on the line. Joe, first of all, congratulations in progressing back to a semi-final. I know tis Kildare you're playing and you had a couple of runs with them already. How are you? Are you in good state? Are you all getting lively and are you all ready to go?
Yeah, thanks to Donald for having us on. No, Donald, we're progressing nicely, I think. We started there with a win over Down, and then we lost into Kildare in our next round away. It was played in Moorfield, and you know, they were just better than us on the day, Donald. You know, they played better than Kerry that day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But so we've a few points to make up there. We defeated Carlow then since, and Westmeath with a good win over Westmeath the last round.
Yeah, you're very impressive against Westmeath, 2:15 to 1:1. Of course, I suppose to win a championship, I mean, you have to go through a number of rounds, number of players, a lot of panel players playing. I presume you probably changed it up all the way through as well, round one, round two, round three. I suppose to find and figure out your strongest team.
Yeah, you see, I suppose we started prior to Christmas, and so we're going 4 months. So the girls that maybe were going well earlier, you know, there's girls coming in now into a form so as well. So yeah, it can change around a bit, all right. Yeah, it can change.
Absolutely. Joe, I suppose, you know, there's a lot made, I suppose, of ladies football and Camogie and the whole lot, and I suppose people kind of, I suppose at times, I suppose, don't reflect on the amount of effort and time, and you just mentioned there that you're 4 months at it already. Maybe I'll outline the amount of training that has gone in all the way through that people kind of don't see. I mean, they'll probably see the headlines in the newspaper now that you're in a semi-final, and even here tonight, probably on Terrace Talk, people will hear about it for the first time. But behind those headlines, an awful lot of work goes unnoticed, maybe.
Yeah, you know, these girls have put in a super effort. They're really, really committed bunch, you know. So they're born prior to Christmas. We have a great management team. I have Ian Brick, Kevin Sullivan, Morris Leahy, three great coaches. I've Eilish and Trish in the admin, and so the girls are trained to, we'll say, we meet up twice a week and the weekend, and then they do their strength and conditioning themselves most of the time. So and then there's girls travelling from, well, we have girls from Killarney, obviously, and that's not Killarney, that's girls from Ratmore, Glenfleth, and even Marta O'Sullivan from Bonan in Kinmare.
Oh wow.
And she's always training, and she could be there for the first girl up in North Kerry, you know. So, and then we've girls from we have Slieve Rupert this year, girls from Slieve Rupert. We have Tralee Parnells, Causeway, Killard, and you know, there's girls from we have a girl from Killoglen and from Ballybunion, and they're, you know, their dedication, or they're super really dedicated, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I see as well you have about half of last year's panel remaining as well. I mean, that brings in a nice bit of experience from last year as well.
Yeah, they're very, you know, that kind of, you know, when those girls were there, they have the experience from last year, and, you know, they're bringing it forward this year, and you can see them. And with the girls that have joined them in then from last year, the new girls that come on, that are after coming in this year, they've done very well, you know. We have some girls there, Tiernan, Deneen, and Sarah Slattery, Lily Stack, Rachel Sargent, Marta, as I mentioned, Anna Chute, their first years, Kate Mansell, Sarah O'Connor, Jennifer Harty, Ashling Hennessy, and Anne Walsh. They've all seen time and they've all done very well.
Mm-hmm. And of course, it is a pathway to senior. I mean, Root and Roisin Quinn and Sharon Collins as well. They've all kind of stepped up from minor into the senior as well. So there is a nice production line going at the moment as well.
Oh, there is, yeah. And I'm sure, like, you know, this is what the minor's about, whether we win, lose, or draw, you know, on Sunday or Saturday. I hope we win, obviously. But it's mostly like what we're doing is trying to prepare girls and then get them ready for the next step then, and just get them through to senior. That's our job, really, you know.
Yeah. And of course, you mentioned a lot of clubs there. I mean, obviously, look, as a South Kerry man, when you hear Slieve Lucre and Killarney and maybe even Tralee Parnells, and I suppose mixing with Killard and Causeway and more traditional teams and players, I suppose. How heartening is it that it is beginning to grow across the county, maybe?
Oh, it is fantastic to see the other clubs coming in, coming on board. And you have another two clubs in, Ballyduff and Abbeyleith, they're ready to come on as well then next year, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's fantastic to see the growth. And I think it's grown. I think there's more that it can grow further, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's great scope there for it. And you know, but that's for all girls' sport, really. You know, you want to see all the sports progressing, really.
Yeah, absolutely. How important as well? I mean, the seniors are playing in Division One this year. I mean, the league finals were on television over the weekend. Of course, Kerry not there this year, but they were there last year. They were getting the TV coverage. How important is the progress of the senior team? It obviously trickles down to younger levels where people are looking to Patrice Diggins and saying, God, I want to be the next Patrice Diggins and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they got tremendous exposure last year for that finals, you know, so that definitely helped promote the game and to promote the girls, and the girls can see then, you know, that there's a, you know, if we put in the work there, there's a chance of playing, and a great chance of playing and getting to Croke Park, whether it is the intermediate final or the championship final or whether it is the league final or you know, or whether it is club with Tan Morris or any of this, we can get to Croke Park, and that's the name of the game. That, like, you know, getting to Croke Park is number one, isn't it, really?
Absolutely. It's the dream of every boy and girl, and it should always be that dream. Come here, the Moorfield result, of course, round two. I mean, I suppose it seems like a long time ago now, but it's the same Kildare team. Will you have hoped to have learned a small bit from that game, maybe?
Yeah, we'd hope to come on a nice bit from that. It takes a couple of games to get into the groove. And remember, Kildare had the benefit of a Leinster League campaign prior to that. And So it seems it's looking that you know, the more games we're playing, the better the we're combining, the better the performance is. So and like we kind of instilled in them, you know, the importance of wearing the county jersey, and you know, you're representing the whole county, whether people are interested or not. There's people, some people are looking out for that result Sunday evening or Saturday evening, and we're emphasizing how important it is to wear that jersey. It's the most important jersey in the world to me, you know.
Absolutely, great words, Joe. And you could be, you're well right in what you're saying. People will be looking for the result, win, lose, or draw, because it's amazing. Kerry supporters, you know, once they hear the word All Ireland at all, whatever level you're in, if you're in an All Ireland semi final, all of a sudden people take a little bit more notice. Joe, listen, the very best of luck to you and the team, and look, continued success for the amount of work that is going into Kerry Camogie, particularly over the last number of years. There seems to be steamrolling ahead now at the moment, and the very best luck to the seniors as well. Of course, they're kicking off their intermediate campaign probably shortly enough as well, which is great. But hopefully we'll have all the fingers and the toes crossed, and hopefully that result will come in, Joe. And you never know, Joe, we might even have you back to talk about the All-Ireland.
You never know. Thanks, Donal. I just want to say to the venues there, we've been training in different venues and had games in Ballyhaig and training in Kilmoyley and in the Ark in Artford and in Lixna. And I want to thank those for the venues there. And, you know, I just want to pass on our sympathies to the Reardon family in Artford and on the passing of Patrick, a great hurling man, a great follower of Kerry, and from our club in Kilmoyley and from the Camogie and from everyone. We just want to pass on those sympathies to Reardon family.
Yeah, absolutely. Our condolences to Josephine out there. Fantastic woman as well. Lives, breathes hurling and Camogie and all sports. And of course, great people for athletics as well. And great words there, Joe. We'll remember them. After a break, we talk to Pat and Jamesy Casey.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, my next guests have brought sibling rivalry to a whole different level. You may remember a number of years ago, of course, we introduced Jamesy Casey to you when he was going up trying to be a national champion. Well, now he only went off and became national champion for the fifth time. You're very welcome.
Thanks for your time.
God, you're getting big. You're growing up.
Growing up, yeah.
The hair is taking different shapes than what it was last time.
Yeah,
fantastic. And you decided to bring your brother Pat along with you, who's copying you now at this stage. Pat is also a national champion, which is absolutely fantastic. And of course, we're joined by John as well. I'm going to say, in my own head, I have Jennifer in my head.
He's the boss.
Jennifer's the boss. Sorry, Jennifer. So John's here as well. And of course, it's another fantastic achievement for the Sleeve Lucra Boxing Club as well, who had many boxers, of course, up at the national championships. Let's talk to Pat first. First national title, Pat. What level are you boxing?
So it goes by. So I'm by one, class is 11. So.
Okay, and you of course had to come all the way through different national rounds to get to the finals?
Yeah, I had a semi-final in the All-Irelands and a final in the Munsters.
Fair play. And how did you get on? Obviously we know that you won, but how did you win?
So for my Munsters, I won by a stoppage in round two.
Okay.
And then I went on to the All-Irelands and I won the semi-final by a stoppage in round three.
Okay.
And then for the final, I won on a unanimous decision.
Very good. You had to box him all the way to the end of that one.
Yeah.
Absolutely, good stuff. Come here, when you were growing up, and of course you're still growing up, were you looking at the brother across the way here coming home the odd night with a national title?
Yeah, first started off with a Munster title, and then that's when I kind of got into it. And then I started saying that I wanted to become a boxer.
Okay.
And then the more we went on, the more serious we got.
How did that? Oh my God! Very, very big words, big up. Come here. How did that conversation go with your parents when you say, "Listen, James is getting all the fun here. I want my own chance," and shouted it.
I just kind of I just said, "Sure, he's getting a few wins and stuff." So I said, "I want to get into it and see how it goes." And I wasn't very good at first, but then started getting better as it went on.
Oh, very good. Were you looking at him and saying, God, he's quite good, or were you kind of just, he was grand?
No, he was good at first, but he got better as time went on.
Absolutely. And of course, you can see the amount of training that he does.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You're not up to that level yet, are you? But you're getting there.
Getting there, yeah.
Absolutely. Jamesy, you were, believe it or not, you were pair probably a couple of years ago, were you? Much better looking Pa, obviously.
Pa, what are you, by one now?
Yep.
Were you by one at
no
stage?
COVID no. Came when I was by one, so
okay. Also, you missed all that.
I missed that season and I came in by two and I lost in that All-Irelands because I wasn't really going in.
Yeah.
Then I put my head down, I trained harder and I came back and I won every All-Ireland since.
Yeah. That's five in a row.
It's five in a row, yeah.
That's a huge achievement. Obviously, we talk about Kerry football. They couldn't get five in a row, and it goes on that way. So it's a national achievement as well. You obviously know a lot of the gang that you're boxing week after week, night after night. So you kind of know all the boxers your age group around the place.
Yeah, I do. I'm well used to them now because they don't really change now. So I'm at an age now where there's no really mediocre boxers left. They're all good boxers and, you know them off by name and you literally have a good guess who's in your weight before you even go into the championships, mm-hmm.
Talk to me about your championships for number five.
number five. So I started off in my counties. Obviously, I got to walk over there because there's not many boxing clubs in Kerry, so I got to walk over there. I moved on then to my Munsters. I got a semi-final. I won my semi-final 5-0, and then I won my final 5-0. Then I moved on to my All-Irelands, and I got a quarter-final, was it? Mm-hmm. I got a quarter-final, and I won my quarter-final by third-round stoppage. I won my semi-final by unanimous decision, and I won my final on a very close 3-2 split, but it was, I thought I bet him well, do you know what I mean?
Was that the closest you've had at that fight? I mean, obviously it goes to the judges and you think you had won, and all of a sudden you're saying, God almighty, the rug might be pulled from underneath me here.
That was a very, you know, when you're up in Dublin, you know, and you're boxing a Dublin fighter, you want to be beating them well, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You want to be like, because there's a lot of Dublin judges up there and everything like that, so you want to be well ahead. And I left the fight get a bit too close, you know, bit lazy, you know what I mean? But
If you spoke to yourself the day after the fight, the one that went 3-2, are you kind of secretly giving out to yourself, or you're saying, God, it's James, you should never have left it this close, I should have done something else? Or do you kind of forget about that fight and you just move on, or are you learning from maybe...
You learn from the past as well, you know what I mean? But you take bits and pieces out of it, you know, to improve for the next fight on, but you have to kind of leave go as well, you know what I mean? It's done and dusted, I have it won now, thankful, move on to the next, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is the fan club getting bigger, is it?
Yeah, the fan club's getting bigger.
Are you signing autographs yet, are you?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Dear God. John, we've been following his progress for a long time now at this stage, obviously writing about it, and, you know, I mean, it's amazing. It's great to see, I suppose, the development of an athlete, a boxer, develop from this age, and as he said, his brother's travelling the same path. But that's not the whole story of Sleeve Lucre. I mean, obviously you have an awful lot more talented boxers out there in Castle Island as well.
We have, in fairness. This year we got 7 to the Nationals. We came away with 3 gold. I'll just mention Tommy Murray, who's also 2-time national champion, won it 2nd time in a row. He's away in holidays, so he couldn't join us tonight. So we came away with 3 gold, Jamesy and Tommy. We got 2 silver and a bronze. So we actually did pretty well out of 7 boxers. We got 6 medals. So
when you're heading home from Dublin and somebody looks across from a Dublin boxing club and says, they probably won't be able to pronounce Sleeve Lucre, right? I mean, is it Irish or whatever it is? I probably think you're from West Kerry or something. But I mean, are people taking more notice of you now? Are people taking more notice of Sleeve Lucre or Castle Island? You're building up a tradition. I mean, you have a bank of national winners at this stage.
Yeah, in fairness, it's growing constantly, in fairness, which we're very grateful for. And it's not easy to come across talents like the 2 Casey boys here, and to have 2 national titles out of one family. It's rare enough to get
it's
one.
Amazing.
To get 2 is absolutely astonishing, and a lot of that goes to credit to James, yeah, who's their father, who puts in massive mileage, massive amount of time. It's brilliant having him on board, and he works really well with the boys and works well with the club, and it all goes very well.
Yeah,
but we are getting recognised up there, in fairness. But
was there more pressure on the second family member winning, James, than the first fella?
I suppose for Jamesy we kind of always knew that the potential was there, but as he said, like, in his very first fight above in the national, well, it was in Drimnapic, just after COVID, his bye 2, he actually lost that. But then I see a drive in him that I've never seen in anybody before. You know, when he lost, he cried the whole way from Dublin right down to Kerry, and he made a swear that day that he was going to win the Nationals the following year, and that he did. He won the Nationals, and then he went out to the Europeans the following year, that very same year that he won the Nationals, and he won a silver medal out there. We thought he won the gold, but of course it's boxing, so it's subjective.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Pa was just watching all of this, and Pa showed great determination while all of that was going on. He showed great skill and determination, and of course we have the smaller fella, John as well, who's really eager about the boxing as well. So they're just thriving off each other.
John, would you be a boxer, would you?
Yeah.
Are you watching these lads?
Yeah.
Which one is better?
I say Jamesy.
5-1.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it nice to sit outside the ring and see both brothers win?
Yeah, I watched them box, and 2 years I'll be up in the National Stadium boxing.
Well, you're a bit young yet, are you?
Yeah.
They're holding you back.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Are you doing a bit of training? Are you?
Yeah, I am. I'm doing a lot of training.
Wow. What when you say a lot of training, what's that? You're watching them train, you're punching bags?
The same of them.
Wow. Yeah. You just haven't got the brakes yet?
No.
They'll come along, John, don't worry.
Definitely one to watch, I can assure you. Definitely one to watch.
No pressure. Which one of you won it first this year? Did you win the five before he won the one?
Paz Championships was up before mine, so he won the national title this year before me.
Right. When you're looking at your younger brother, I mean, I don't know, siblings fighting, siblings row and the whole lot, like, but are you giving him a hand or are you saying, listen, leave me alone?
Oh, no, I love seeing him win, I love seeing him win because I trains with him as well, and seeing him progress up in the game as well is just... I don't know, it's a very nice feeling just to see him come up in the game, do you know what I mean? Get his name noticed up around the National Stadium. It's nice. I like
and
it.
Do people know your brothers? I presume the boxing world is small enough, they know that their brothers of different ages come along.
Yeah, they know we're brothers,
Team Casey, yeah. They're well established now at the stage.
Team Casey, oh my God, almighty. There are people out in the night trying to sign you. And of course, John is to come.
Yeah.
And who is your friend in the back?
Pat.
And where are you from, Pat?
I'm from Clarny.
Are you a boxer?
I does it sometimes, like, but nothing.
You'll be more promoter type, will you?
He's more into the soccer game.
He plays for Kerry soccer.
Oh, very good. Kerry under 13s?
No, under 14s.
Okay. So boxing is out for you because you want to mind yourself and...
Yeah, like, I does it sometimes, but nothing too serious.
Okay, you wouldn't get into a ring with Jamesy, like, would you?
No.
Jamesy, outside of boxing, how's life going?
Oh, life's going good, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Life's going very well.
You're getting to enjoy it a bit now, are you?
Huh?
Are you getting to enjoy it a bit now?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. You know, I picked a more suitable weight this year, so I'm not too worried about my weight, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And when you say that, people say more suitable weight, you're gone, of course, from the boys to kind of weights now and different, I suppose, kg weights, is it?
Yeah, so about 3 months ago, I moved from 50 kg to 57 kg, which is a very big jump in weight. It's a lot. But ever since I moved, it's just been a lot easier. You know, I don't have to watch my weight as much and you can enjoy it.
Does that give you a chance to kind of develop and grow a bit as well? Do you know,
I'm nearly taller than my father now, so.
Yeah. Nearly, he says.
I suppose the hair,
is it?
It's a bit high, isn't it?
Good stuff. John, the future of the club is very bright, isn't it?
It is, thank God.
Does that bring its own headaches, maybe?
It actually does, to be honest. Trying to get volunteers and try to get the support. No, in fairness, people are very good to us around the town, helping us and supporting us. If we get an extra bit of volunteers in with the club, it would be a lot more beneficial to all. But
Course, that's the important thing about it too. It's Slieve Lucre Castle Island Club. I mean, it's a club for the community. It's in the middle of the town. You're still up there in the garage, are you?
Yeah, we're still up there, yeah. We've a nice job done to know we've it all freshly painted. And
oh my God, I must call it.
It looks the part.
It doesn't look like a gym anymore.
No.
Yeah, but it is great, and obviously you probably have pictures on the wall about, you know, Mary obviously came through as well, and fantastic boxer, and her sister was here as well at the time, and you have lots of various champions. Do people kind of ring you up and say, geez, we'd love to go box for you, or, you know, how does that work? Can I ramble in tonight from...
No, probably September when we start our season, we get some massive numbers, and we genuinely have a bit of a waiting list, and we just kind of work from there really and see how we fare out. We have three different classes running, so we have a development class, and then we have our elite class, which the boys would be in, and the more serious boxers, they get moved up to the elite class then, and we try develop them from there then. But yeah, there's an awful lot of work put into it.
Yeah, James, what's next for you? Rest and relaxation.
I have a few internationals coming up. That's it, really.
Yeah. You're relaxing for a while.
Yeah.
What age did you start boxing at?
I started about, how old was I, you know?
Well, about 8, but before you started the club, you were about 10, like.
Yeah. About 8, you know, messing around, and then 10, I kind of got a bit serious each year.
What age you know? 17?
I'm 15 now.
15. Yeah. Oh God, you're still small.
Yeah.
What age you?
I'm 12 now.
Was you nearly catching him already? Why'd you wait so long?
He's a January boxer, which is
what's a good age?
Which is gold in the boxing world.
A lot of people are probably listening tonight and say, "Oh my God, 12 years old, 15 years old." Is it frightening at any stage? Is it scary, or do you kind of lose that straight away with the training?
You'd always be nervous going into a fight, no matter if you know that
you're kind of nervous? Butterflies in the stomach nervous, or God, nervous the guy could beat me, or nervous that James is going to win a 6th one before I win a 2nd one?
A bit of all, to be honest now. A lot of pressure, knowing that all the hard work you put in could be gone.
And tell us about the hard work. What, when people say hard work, what's hard work? What's the training like?
So we get up, we used to get up every morning before school, but we had to put it down to like 3 days a week because it was draining our bodies. So we get up 3 mornings a week before school. We do sprints, strength and conditioning, and runs. And then in the evening, we'll train 6 days a week.
Wow.
Boxing sessions.
It's a lot of work, isn't it?
Yep.
John, are you sure that life is for you? Up early every morning?
Yeah.
God, how much it sounds a bit tough for me, to be fair. Maybe you should be a soccer player or something. Yeah, you wouldn't be up early every morning, a soccer player, would you?
No, not really, no.
Oh, you'll be safe enough. Jamesy, final shout out before we wrap up the segment. The very best of luck. I presume there's people in your corner like John that are helping you all the way. Is there more people in it? Is Team Casey expanding and growing? Is there a few people you want to thank, maybe?
Yeah, there's more people. So I'd like to thank my father for bring me up and down the country, you know, for training and for sparring and stuff like that. I'd like to thank my mother as well for, you know, making me all the meals and stuff like that. Thank John as well for when I go over to the club sometimes, you know, do a bit of training over in the club and stuff like that. And I thank his wife Jennifer as well for being over in the club. Who else can I say thanks to?
I suppose
look, you had nutritionists and the run up to Bobby from Peak Performance.
I used to do a bit with him, you know, a bit of nutrition and a bit of training. That stands a big factor as well. I does a small bit with Kevin Cronin as well, the Kingdom Warriors, you know, he's from Tralee as well. And well, so many, I don't know.
Absolutely. It's not the Rose of Tralee, you've thanked enough of them. You're a friend. Come here, listen, keep in contact, keep in touch. It's a fantastic story. It's even a better story now that there's two brothers, and when John gets, two more years, we'll have three champions in the one family. Yeah. Huh? I'm sure you might be signed by Crystal Palace or somebody in the meantime. You never know. After the break, of course, we are talking to more Clarny people as it happens. The Clarny women, of course, are double Munster champions. The rugby team, after the break, we'll talk to them.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, the Kerry under 18 girls backed up their Munster League title win last week when they added the cup title for unique double, and this is of course the second time that many of the girls have tasted that success, of course having won the under 16s 2 years ago, and in what turned out to be a cracking game at Virgin Media Park against Clonakilty, they ran out 22-19 winners. And delighted to welcome Mary Ellen MacDonald, Niamh Dorian, Annie O'Reilly, and their coach Dermot O'Malley. That was very important, absolutely. I will give you a no for that one. You deserve a no at this stage with the amount of success that you have achieved with Killarney. Girls, first of all, congratulations. Annie, it's great to win something and win something again very soon.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's nice feeling to win it twice, to go all the way.
Yeah. The first game was a real mud bet, wasn't it? I mean, it was played in horrendous conditions and the whole lot, but you're playing the same team again in better conditions.
Yeah.
Does that bring a different challenges completely? It was a different game.
The first game, if you went down, you were sliding.
Right.
You were making savage ground even on the ground, and it was hard to keep a hold of the ball. And then, sure, the second time we played them, then it was dry. The ball wasn't wet or anything. So it's very different game.
And it's a different game than the second time around. I mean, 22-19. You kind of eased up a little bit towards the end, did you?
Yeah, we did. It was getting a bit hairy near the end. They nearly scored.
Absolutely. You were up 22-5, maybe?
21-5.
And then you kind of slipped up a small bit. I suppose it's the management were at fault for that, was it? Yeah, definitely. Mary Ellen, welcome back.
Thank you.
God, I'm sure you're probably Glencairn's most famous sports person now at this stage. What's it like to go home winning the second cup?
Oh, it's amazing.
Does it back up your achievement? I mean, like, people will say, oh yeah, you know, Killarney, they won the first one, they won it, that's grand. But to come back again at that level and win the second one, and it was one convincing enough. I mean, obviously we're joking, I mean, you were in control of the game, but does it kind of give your success more of a quality about it, that you know, we've achieved this, we've backed it up, now we're real champions?
Definitely, yeah. It helps us prove to ourselves as well that we're, like, we are one of the best team. We are the best team in Munster as of right now. So it helps to prove the point.
Yeah.
From
what does that mean, though? I mean, you say you're the best team in Munster right now. I mean, the rugby community, like the boxing community, the cycling community, they're small enough families. I mean, everybody knows that is involved. So people in Clonakilty will know Killarney are the best. People in different parts of Munster will know that, like the rugby will say, yeah, Killarney, they're on the up and the whole lot. What does it mean to be join that army of it and people say, yeah, Killarney, definitely serious outfit?
It is very good to think that some people be out there thinking that we are like the team to beat, that they'd be looking at the structure of our team and just on about where they can go in and try beat us. But
yeah, and of course, Niamh, that brings its own challenges every year. I mean, at the end of the year you win, you're at the top and the whole lot, and then you say, God, am I going again next year, am I having another run at it again? A lot of you around again next year for this age group, or some of you moving on?
These two are, so Mary Ellen and Annie are, but this is my last year, so I'm done now.
Oh my God. Testimonial time.
Yeah, so it was very important that we won this last one for me anyway, to know.
And is that something going through your head in the dressing room, that, God, this is my last year? I mean, I'd love to get over the line here now. The other girls have another year, maybe two, maybe in some of them. Does that go through your head a little bit more, particularly when it's your last year?
Yeah, I think for me and a lot of the other girls, you know, it is their last year. And in that maybe like 15 minutes, 20 minutes before we went out, played the game, I think it was in like a lot of girls' minds that this is your last game. Give it hell, like.
Yeah.
So,
That's an unusual enough moment, Annie. I mean, when you're in a team, and all teams, all sports, I mean, there comes a time that you've played together all the year together, you've trained all year, done all the hard yards, you've done all the sliding and the muck up and down the head down, the whole lot, and then there's a realisation that this is the last time that this particular group of players in this team will be in this last war. Does that kind of have a sentimental feeling about it, or do you just roll up the sleeves and say, listen, this is why we need to win it?
Yeah, it does, in fairness. Like, it's sad that that was our last game with a lot of those girls. Like, I know hopefully we'll do as good next year, but it's not the same, really. You're losing a lot of very good players and friends and stuff.
Yeah.
I know you still have the friends, but they're not on the team with you.
Yeah. And Dermot, I suppose, the step from here, you know, obviously you had them at 10, 11, 12 and they get, is this the end of the journey, or is there another avenue somewhere along the way? Is there a senior team? Is there another senior team? Where is poor Niamh going?
Depends, I suppose, where they go to college and stuff like that. As this girl said, it is, there was a sentimental value there. It is the end of the we have a final sevens tournament in Feathered next Sunday, and that'll be kind of the last dance as such. But for the group where the girls, there are many choices. Look, I think it's more than rugby. It's what myself and Josh and Elaine and the management team kind of try to give them is a kind of an understanding of not necessarily rugby, but also about life and kind of and sports and what they can get out of that. And it's very much up to them, and I think I'm very much focused, and we're very much focused on kind of, if you keep there's a huge dropout of girls sports at kind of 15-16, and if you keep them playing sports at that up to 17-18, then there's a greater possibility than them continuing to play sport, whatever sport that will be. But yeah, there's loads of avenues. There's a senior team in Tralee that are doing very, very well. There's talk of a kind of a development senior team maybe in Killarney. The girls would go to college to Limerick or Cork, where there's senior teams and where there's a pathway. And in fairness, Munster have kind of introduced this pathway of a crossover from underage to senior rugby, so they're kind of just, they don't want to lose these quality girls to rugby and kind of have all great to have this success and then just to lose that pathway. So they're doing their best as well, which is very important. I think there's a high probability that most of these girls will continue to keep playing and enjoying their rugby, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, and of course you have a number of players who have kind of stepped onto another level, whether it's provincial or Ireland as well. A couple of them who are training tonight.
Yeah, there's a few of them. There's a national talent squad, and there's Ava O'Malley and Lily Morris and Fia Whelan and Emma Dunican are all up in Limerick and at UL on a Monday night, and they're getting excellent training and kind of management from Niamh Briggs and their team in UL, which is just absolutely super for those girls. And it just shows the other girls in our team and in our environment and in other teams as well, there is a great pathway there for girls rugby, and it's just changing, and it's so much better now than it was, you know, which is great.
Even in the length of time you've been involved, you obviously can see that it's either getting easier or it's getting more attractive or there's more people playing or there's maybe more coming in at the entry level. Even in that short time, it must be, you must look back and say, God, how do we progress from there to where we are now?
Yeah, no, look, and even the fact that you said that under-16s, that under-16s team, which is the bulk of the girls that are still there, and, like, we were really, really strong. We're very strong, obviously, this year as well, but there's a huge jump in the terms of the competition and the opposition and the likes of Clonakilty and the amount, I think they have over 200 girls playing rugby in Clonakilty, which is phenomenal. It just shows other areas like Killarney or like Tralee or like wherever else that there's a huge opportunity for these girls to play another sport and complement their football and complement their other sports. So the competition is definitely and we had to be a lot better this year than we had to be 2 years ago to win to do what we did, which is a great sign of a good quality team.
Yeah, and of course it's a great sign the sport as well. I mean, if it was easy to win it, you know, you probably wouldn't want to win it. I don't know, it's easy getting kind of a book token, but I mean these are real, these are tangible, and I mean it's Munster, it's at the most elite level of where you can go in this region.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, in the 3 seasons that this team has been together, there's been 8 tournaments and we've won 6 of them, you know. So that's, you know, last year we got beaten in 2 Munster, a league and a cup semi-final. So that's phenomenal. It just says about the talent and the quality of this unique bunch of girls, and there is a sentimental value because they are a special a great camaraderie and just great fun there, and that's what it's all about. It really is, and I know it's a cliche to say that, but sincerely it couldn't be more truthful, because it's they enjoy it, and that's what it's about. Because it becomes a chore, the enjoyment goes out of it, I think.
Yourself and Josh talk about the 2 that got away as opposed to the 6 that you win most of the time.
No, not at all. Actually, last year, that's under-16s team. There's a lot of them still underage next year, and they weren't underage for us last year. So last year, we were just about got 15, 17 players together. Actually, there was two students that were in ISK, actually, that with Colin Conway and Tigger, actually played schools rugby, a Swiss girl and an Italian girl. And we relied on them to play because we were so low on numbers, and that, you know, and it was an achievement actually to get to a semi-final. But, you know, we knew that the quality of the girls are coming through from the under-16s and from that underage bracket would be back in again as long as they had their mojo and their appetite for rugby again, and they definitely did, and that was key for our success for this year, you know.
Fair play. Listen, stay with us after the break, we'll talk about the national team.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now we're talking all things women's rugby, of course, in the company of Mairn Aidan MacDonald, Niamh Dorian, Annie O'Reilly and Dermot O'Malley. And of course, 2 of you were above watching Ireland, of course, playing against Wales at the weekend. Mairn Aidan, was that your first game that you went to?
Yeah, my first Irish women's game I've been at, yeah.
Was it your first one then, yeah?
No, I've been to a good few now.
Oh, real expert.
Well, I don't know about that now, but I've been to a few.
We'll start with you, so Annie. Were you kind of surprised? Because I was looking at the odds before the game started and it didn't really say Ireland were going to do quite well.
The odds weren't really in their favour after the kind of the hammering they got last year.
Yeah.
It was 36 points in the difference, so it wasn't looking great for them, but they pulled it out of the bag.
Yeah. There's a couple of changes in the team and the whole lot, but the way they went about winning that game, I mean, they got their tries, they were kind of in control, and they controlled the game for most of the bar, maybe the last 10-15 minutes where Wales got kind of a consolation try, nearly got a second try, of course, and it was kind of, it didn't cross the line. Oh no, it was a forward pass, actually. But, I mean, the crowd, the atmosphere, talk to us about that, first of all.
I don't know, there was a good crowd there, in fairness. There was more than had been there in the games that I'd gone to previously, so there was a good atmosphere, really. Do you know, if they scored you knew about it, like.
Yeah. And are a lot of people in the crowd players as well?
I'd say there was a good few teams, you know, you'd recognise the teams and stuff.
Oh my god, don't tell me Clonakilty were sitting beside you, were they?
They were. Ennis
as well. That's fairly embarrassing, isn't it? Mary Ellen, it was your first game at it. I mean, obviously transitioning from playing the game that you love to actually going and watching your international side, I mean, what were your expectations going to it?
They were high, like, I wasn't expecting them to come out on top as much as they did. but I was hoping they would, you know, being the first game out of that for Irish women.
And are you looking at the players and saying, God, this one's only 2 years older than me and she's only 4 years older than me, and God, I mean, this one doing, I can run faster than that myself, obviously, maybe or maybe not. But I mean, are you looking at that way? Are you looking at kind of a pathway that way?
Yeah, definitely. It'd be amazing to be anywhere near there.
Yeah.
But of course, some of the girls being only 3 or 4 years older than us is mad to think that it could be us in a few years' time.
Yeah, absolutely. Who are the standout names that we should be looking for at the moment, Annie?
Well, Aoife Wafer won player of the match.
Oh my God, she's super, isn't she?
She's outstanding.
Yeah, and she was injured for a long time as well, and she came back.
Yeah, she's outstanding in for every ball and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was outstanding in the previous game as well, even though they got a bit of a kicking at the end of it. I mean, but I mean, she's one that has really, really stood up. Fantastic player. Niamh, obviously, you're at home doing the Leaving Cert and you're studying. Do you take a sneaky peek at it?
Do you know what? I was at home and I was doing the study, but you know, I did kind of go down to the living room because my dad was watching it down there. So I was like, you know, I'll go take a quick peek. And I did watch it for about 5 minutes before I was like, oh, if I don't leave now, I'll never leave.
All right, absolutely.
The living room and go back to my studies. So yeah. But when I saw that Ireland was winning, it was kind of a relief. And I just.
Yeah. And what is it like when you talk to your friends and you talk about you're playing rugby and everybody say, oh my God, you're playing rugby? Really? You know, that's dangerous and all that. But yet you have an international aspect to rugby. And I mean, the sport's played all over the world as well. You have the World Cup and you have every sort of country playing, which is absolutely fantastic. Do you realise you're part of that bigger kind of family?
Well, do you know, personally, I have a real love for rugby, and I do tell people in my school I play rugby. Do you know, we won the cup there, we won the league. They're just kind of like, I think kind of the big question I get asked is, I've ever been concussed before, like, do you know, like everyone just kind of connects it with getting injured.
And are they the questions that kind of attract fairly quickly? They're the questions people ask that don't really know what the sport is about. They say, oh my God, did you get hurt? Did you break your shoulder? Did you hit someone? Did you break your nose? And all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of a big misconception because, do you know, rugby is a tough sport, but at the exact same time, like, if you know how to play the sport, it's not as dangerous as people think it is, which, you know, I think stops a lot of girls from coming into the sport in the first place, is that this whole thing that, oh, it's dangerous, don't do it, you'll get hurt. And I think that's not rugby at all, in my opinion.
The game itself, I mean, at international level, I mean, you're watching it, I presume it's much quicker, much faster, and the whole lot of you saying, whoa, this is another level. Or are you saying, I'm not too far away from that, or we're not too far away from it?
I don't know, it's a fast game, and they're putting in, like, savage hits. You know, it's, I don't know.
Is that the big standout
pace
difference, the collisions and the weight of them and the whole lot?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But you'd love to be in there, would you?
Yeah, it'd be class getting an opportunity to be there.
Absolutely. Mary Ellen, I mean, if I gave you an Irish jersey tomorrow and say you're playing France next week, would you take off?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Of course, Darren, we're talking about winning for Killarney and obviously the county and the whole lot and getting as many in and getting maybe the production line going. But at the end of the tunnel, there is that hope, obviously, that, you know, we will get somebody back into a green jersey. We have got a couple of girls in green jerseys over the year. Ciara Griffin, of course, former captain, the whole lot, and Siobhan Fleming played, and Sharon Lynch from Castle Island was there, even though she was playing with Leinster, but I mean, she was there as well. So we have got there before, but it would be nice to get more and more there.
Definitely, and I think the girls are definitely on the right track. There's a few of them that are like that NGS squad, and that kind of identifies those players that are potentially long term could make it up the next step. It's like listening to the boxers earlier on, you know, it doesn't come easy. It's like any sport, you've got to work, you know. And he's talking about the collisions and the hits. The only way you get yourself to up to that environment is to be able to train and to be able to get stronger and physically fitter and everything else. So the opportunity is there from a skill level. I think women's rugby has never been better. Even from, like, our game was against Clonakilty was on live, the live streams, and the amount of people that watched it and just couldn't believe the quality of the rugby, which is just, you know, and these were people that would be kind of looking at women's rugby and kind of with one eye and going, yeah, it's nowhere near the men's quality, but they actually were so impressed, and they genuinely said that to me, which is kind of just shows you the track that these girls are on. Yeah, look, there's a huge step up, obviously, but there's a girl on the wing who scored scored a try the other day, Katie Corrigan. She was playing with Lily Morris, our girl who played Irish under-18s last year. She was playing on the same team. I was fortunate to be over at the under-18 girls Six Nations there, and there's girls there that'll be knocking on the door. There's a couple of girls, the French under-18s girls were phenomenal. There'll be two or three girls there that'll be playing on that senior French squad within 2 years, without a doubt. So anything is possible if people put it, you know, the fact that the girls have got the skill set and got the work being put in for many, many years, it can't just but help the quality of rugby that hopefully Ireland will continue to play and the level that will go up to continually.
Mm-hmm. A question of Vaughan Fleming from Cora has that, I was going to say Six Nations, it was Six Nations Championship a number of years ago, out the field, talented footballer as well at the time, a fantastic girl. And she used to have the story where she literally had to get in her car, drive all the way up to Dublin for the whole weekend, and they trained maybe four or five times over the course of three or four nights and down again. So the commitment is huge to get there, but obviously at the other side of it, the reward is huge as well.
And that's it. Look, and the fact that there's trailblazers like Lily and Ava and these people that are getting the green jersey on, and Emma and Fia played against the English team this year under-18s, and the fact that that's so close to a lot of these girls, yeah, the commitment is big, but like anything, nothing in life comes easy, and if people put in the work and see the benefits on the other side, that's the dangling carrot that people can strive for. Look, we've had success, incredible success in Killarney, but up to the girls now to kick on, to see, and that comes down to attitude and where they want to go and to what levels. But well capable, lots of those girls.
Well capable. How's the leaving cert going to go?
Oh, 625.
No pressure there.
No, just H1s all around.
Fair play, absolutely, yeah. Cross the line every time, fair play. Listen, I've no doubt that you'll do absolutely fantastic in the Leaving Cert. Annie and Mary Ellen, you've another year at this level, have you?
2 years.
I have two years.
Yeah. My God, so you have another possible four cups to win.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Hopefully you'll avoid Clonakilty. They'll surely catch you sometime, will they?
Hopefully not. We'll probably meet them along the way somewhere.
Yeah, you probably will. I mean, you're building up a bit of a kind of a rivalry, which is always quite good, actually, when you're there about and you get any team. And of course, the other extension is you will all go to college, H1's all over the place, and there will be rugby in college, hopefully, fingers crossed, and you'll have brought the skill set from here in there, and sure, you never know. Sure, you might have to pass the ball back to a Clonakilty person, or you never know.
Yeah, sure, I hope so. When I go to college, I hope there's a rugby team there, because I'd love to go on and still play, because I do love the sport.
Fair play. Mm-hmm. Great words. And these two, you don't worry about leaving cert for a while, do you?
2 years.
2 years, yeah.
Ah, sure, in that. Take the shoes off your grand. It'll all come. Listen, thanks very much, Dermot. Fair play, congratulations. Well done to Josh as well.
Absolutely.
The quiet man in the relationship, is he? And of course, we have Mary Ellen and Eve and Annie, and a big thanks to Pat and Jamesy and little John as well, who came as well. Joe Walsh, of course, the very best luck to the Kerry Camogie players. And of course, we will do it all again next week when we talk about the fallout of the Kerry Cork game. And we'll also have the Kerry Hurling County Championship draw as well. Stay with us. Mary's up next with Talk Sauce. Big thanks to Ivan, and big thanks to Keane there as well. He didn't win his national title, but sure, we still love him anyway. We'll do it all again next week.